Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best. Where the paranormal is normal. Where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and listening. And I think we just lost Larry. Going to try and get him back. Larry, are you back?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, you went off for a little bit here. We're very privileged tonight to have Augusto Perez with us. And there's a lot to talk about, a lot going on. Hi, Augusto, how are you tonight?
Hey, Stuart, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, love to have you on, and glad to hear you are improving slowly but surely from your operation. I'm going to ask for prayer for Augusto, though, to speed this up. There's lots of things going on, and so we'd really appreciate it if everyone listening and would spread the word, actually, that Augusto needs prayer for a quick and rapid healing for his operation. Anyway,
thank you, Stuart. Appreciate that.
Where should we start? Yeah, go ahead, Augusto.
No, I was just going to say that it's been a month. I'm going on the fifth week, and so it's kind of a slow recovery. But as I was sharing with you before the program, it was time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how when I was having my hips done, you postpone it as long as you can, and then the Lord speaks and says, I think you better go ahead and get it done. So that's where we are. Speaking about getting it done, what do you make of this Korean situation and Donald Trump locked and loaded, ready to go? Some weird rhetoric actually coming out of President Trump. What's your take on it, Augusto? And Larry, too, for that matter.
Well, I have been paying attention to these events that are taking place, and I believe that North Korea hasn't faced anybody like President Trump before. And neither has China, I don't think. And so they're really getting a quick course in dealing with with a president that's tough and means what he says. And so I don't believe that these are just words being said by Mr. Trump, Stuart. I believe that he is a man that when he says something, he does it. We have seen already from the promises he made at the campaign that he has tried at least to come through with every single one of those promises. So we know that he means what he says. I don't believe he's going to be, he's going to back off. And of course, we are dealing with this guy in North Korea, who is also a kind of a loose cannon, and he doesn't, I don't think he's the kind that backs off that easy unless he's forced to do so by China. So we are in a very dangerous situation because now Kim Jong-un has already said that they were going to launch some missiles with warheads that were going to supposedly land off the coast of Guam, and so now he's already said he was going to do that in the next few days, and Trump said just yesterday, if you do that, hell is going to rain on you, North Korea. So now we're really in a very, very difficult situation where North Korea, what does North Korea do now? They haven't said anything since yesterday, which tells me that they are going to be very, very careful what they say next and do, because now they have drawn a line in the sand, basically, North Korea has, as well as Trump, And now North Korea is going to be forced to do something. Or if they back off, this guy, Kim Jong-un, is going to lose face with the, you know, with his military, with his generals, and he certainly don't want to do that. So what is he going to do? And he knows that if he goes through with his dare, with his threat, Trump is going to go through with his And so this is a very delicate situation. It reminds me of you know, the time when Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev had that same thing going back in 1962 during the missile crisis.
Yes,
so,
I remember that.
Yeah, this is a very, very similar situation to that, but much, much more dangerous, I believe. So we'll see what happens.
Well, the timing of it is what interests me. It just seems as we close in on this Feast of Trumpets and all of the things that are kind of converging on that date, that just seems kind of odd that now we're getting into the, how do I say, military rhetoric that is escalating, as they usually do before war. And what's your take, Larry? And have you heard any more on that?
Well, I have heard that the Russians have went to their highest alert on their anti-missile launchers along the North Korean peninsula. So they are ramped up now, which might indicate something is up. We probably need to watch this weekend a little bit close because of the fact I do know that, you know, some missiles have been brought in to possibly shoot down any missiles that go over Japan or across Japan. And also, I had a chatter in the background talking about Israel setting up some anti-missile missiles in South Korea, that possibly Trump was asking for their assistance in guarding South Korea somewhat with their something like an Iron Dome system to go along with the THAAD. And then, of course, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric. China, you know, is moving their militaries. They're calling it war games, but they're moving their militaries and warning the U.S. not to go in first. And this is ratcheting up pretty quickly. And now one thing, you know, I know you asked Augusto what's Trump doing with his dialogue and what he's saying and talking about. And I noted just before the show, Trump had a national security meeting, and it came out and it spoke, and Venezuela come up. And, of course, all the reporters were trying to find out about what Tillerson thought and said and Mattis and Trump and all of that. And Trump made a remark, and I think he did this on purpose. And, Augusto, you might catch a little clue here. You know, you've been in the, around the dialogue a lot. Trump said, well, I just want to tell Venezuela that the military option in with Venezuela is on the table too. So, Augusto, it appears now whether this is he threw a bone to enrage the left or you know, and all of those that are coming against him for talking that way, he's still doing it. And I'm like you, Augusto. I just don't think he's going to change his ways. I think he has a plan. I really do think he has a plan, and it's not one that you can easily figure out because he's certainly not a politician.
No, he's not. I was just reading this afternoon before the radio show that Maduro, president of Venezuela, made a very strange, enigmatic comment. He said to Donald Trump, here is my hand. And I read the article, and basically it says that Maduro, I guess, after hearing the comments by President Trump, is saying, hey, you know, here, I'm open to making, you know, some type of negotiations with the U.S. You know, I want to improve relationships, what have you. So at least he's backing off the hard stance because he knows that he's toast if the U.S. were to do anything there. But Of course, there is some kind of a treaty between Venezuela and Cuba. Of course, Cuba is in no position to help anybody, but Russia, I don't know what ties, if any, Russia has with Venezuela. I don't know if they have done anything, or China. So that is something to do some research on. But, of course, if we look back at the vision of Dmitry Dudeman, I remember that he mentioned something about maybe Venezuela being involved in the attack on the U.S. And I think he mentioned Cuba, and along with China and Russia, and there were some other countries he could not remember. Probably it was North Korea, but I do believe that there is something, like you said, Larry, that Trump has something planned. I don't know what that is, but I have an idea, because of that experience that the Lord gave me back on July the 1st, and I heard the generals, military generals, discussing options, and I do believe they have a plan which could work. And it would not be as catastrophic as what people are talking. So it remains to be seen what happens. But I agree with what you said, that this next couple of days, we have to keep our eyes open, because that is exactly when Kim Jong-un said that he was going to do something, with those missiles on Guam. So we have to watch for that. And who knows, maybe China decides to intervene. Maybe China says, hey, I've had enough of this, to North Korea. If you don't, Kim Jong-un, if you don't back off and you don't get your ducks in order here, I'm going to invade North Korea. I'm take over. And that's going to be the end of you. And so there may be something like that. I don't know. On the back room dialogues, I don't know, because it is very, very strange, I repeat, that North Korea hasn't said anything in answer to Trump's statements yesterday.
Well, Trump made a very interesting comment. I want to read it and get both of your opinions here. Trump said they will be met, North Korea, with fire and fury, and frankly, powers the like of which this world has never seen before. Now, I wanted to read part of Revelation chapter 13, and it says, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in sight of the beast. So, my point being, do you suppose they have a particle beam weapon? Now, Larry had a vision of a weapon of some sort from what he described, and I'd like you to describe it over again, Larry, but it seemed like it was maybe a particle beam weapon. And didn't you, Augusto, have a dream of some sort of a Death Star that they were working on or was up? I'd like comments from both of you, because I'm beginning to wonder with this comment that we have not ever seen this before, that this is high-tech weaponry. And, of course, they could surgically, with a particle beam weapon, do a tremendous amount of damage instantly with no warning whatever. And surgically take out some key targets of Kimmy the Whiz Kid. What do you think?
Well, let me do. I'll be real quick, and Augusto will probably have more to talk about. But I did have an experience many years ago, and it was between the Earth and the Moon. There was a dark object there, and I was shown this object, and it had a barrel-like projection from it, and it did not reflect light at all. It was made not to reflect light, and later on in years, and I told Augusto and shared this with him, later on in years, I actually on the internet stumbled across a particle beam weapon, and the configuration of that weapon and the way it was set up in the internet search that I ran looked a whole lot like the one that was in space. Now, this was a secret. And then Augusto, I do know also, I know of your Death Star information. But at the same time, you also interviewed, and I can't remember his name right this minute, but there was an insider that had inside information that we had, can't remember if it was a particle beam weapon or a laser weapon or some type of weapon in space already. And he said he was very concerned about it, and he said it possibly could destroy asteroids and maybe even other planets, and said he was very concerned. And I may not have this right, Augusto, but I want to say that I thought he said that he was really concerned if they ever decided to turn it and do something in a war or something on Earth, because he said this weapon could get out of control and it could be catastrophic. Is that right, Augusto?
Yeah, that's right. He confirmed it when I mentioned to him Bob Fletcher, I believe is his name, right? Bob Fletcher.
Yes.
He mentioned I had an interview. We had an interview with him. Maybe I think it was last year, and I mentioned to him about that vision I had about that space weapon. And he said that he was already because I asked him. I said, "Do you think they're planning on doing this sometime in the near future?" And he said they already have it. They have a particle beam weapon already available. And so this may be what Trump is referring to. I know that the U.S. has to have these kinds of weapon already available. And I mean, they probably are thinking about using it. And I don't know if President Trump and his military generals, if they believe that there is a genuine threat from North Korea to Guam, to South Korea, Japan, Hawaii, Alaska, the West Coast, if they really believe that they may have no choice but to take out North Korea, completely obliterate it, and this is not this is not a decision that it will be made lightly, but just like back then in when the nuclear bomb was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it was a horrific event. But the military weighed the options very carefully, and they decided that it was going to save millions of lives if they did that. I know there were many, many, many lives that were killed, that were lost, but it saved millions of lives. And something similar may be going through the minds of these generals and President Trump, that they may have no choice but to do something like that to save the lives of millions of people. And even if the cost in lives in North Korea would be catastrophic.
Yes. Well, what made me wonder about it is the way he worded it. People say he doesn't choose his words. I don't believe that. And I don't believe that Kim of North Korea is stupid either. He's been a shakedown artist for years, but now he's run into somebody that maybe he can't shake down the way he wants. But like you said, Augusto, they've both kind of drawn a line in the sand with the rhetoric. And if either one backs off, then that's kind of like if Trump does absolutely nothing, then there is no real red line, and that's exactly what happened under Obama. no red line, just threats of a red line. But yeah. I'm curious because of the way he worded it, and today he made it even, he said fast. Well, you could almost say instant, because those things, when they fire from space, there's no warning. It's just boom, 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 and it's over.
Now, what did he say today, Stuart? Because I think I missed that one, that it was going to be a fast operation.
Yes, if he did it, if Kim, Larry might correct me here, but if I remember what he said that if North Korea made any attempt towards Guam, it would be over fast, F-A-S-T, quick, sudden. Would be what I would take of the meaning. What about you, Larry? How did you take that comment?
That was that. I took it like the plans are already in place, and all it takes is a move from Kim for the situation to engage, and that they won't waste any time. That's the way I took it, and I find it very telling, too, Stuart. You know, there was a movie you mentioned on your blog, Under Siege 2, that had a satellite. That was very interesting and possibly somewhat like we're talking about.
Yeah, because in that movie, and it's Steven Seagal, and in that movie, a rogue that worked for the Pentagon took over a particle beam weapon satellite that they had just launched, the United States had just launched, and he took it over, and he took out a weapons plant in China with it just as a demonstration of his power. But to me, it maybe had more of a warning because embedded within that movie is 923.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering whether or not this is exactly what Trump is actually speaking about. I don't see where they have any nuclear ground or, you know, penetrate maybe with the Naval SEALs or Delta Force Special Ops. The odds of them getting caught before they could take out Kim would be astronomical. They would be caught. And even if they went to conventional, like deep bunker, Kim's going to respond instantly and probably take out Seoul. However, with a particle beam weapon or a laser weapon or some unknown weapon that they have, boom, it'd be over so fast Kim wouldn't even know what hit him, and he wouldn't be able to respond.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that the ball now is on Kim Jong-un's side of the court. He has to make the next move because of what he already has said. And that is not too far off. He made the statement that those missiles were going to be fired off the coast of Guam and land off the coast of Guam. And then later, you know, they were going to wait to see what the U.S. did. Well, that is what he said. He already said he is going to do that. So next move belongs to him. So I guess now the pressure is on Kim Jong-un and North Korea, and the Chinese probably are feeling the pressure too, because now they are committed. And if he does not go through with that, like I said already, he's going to lose face with his generals.
Yeah.
Which may be what China is wanting, so that the same generals remove him from power. And I don't know. This is going to be a very, very tricky time, a very, very, very dangerous season, because China already has said that if they will remain neutral if North Korea attacks first.
Mm-hmm.
But if the U.S. attacks first, they will get involved. So the question that begets to be answered is, what is considered an attack? If North Korea launches those missiles, and they're supposed to carry nuclear warheads, according to what they said, If that event takes place, even if they land off the coast of Guam, okay, several kilometers off the coast of Guam, even if it doesn't hit Guam, could that be considered an act of aggression by the United States, which, you know, Guam is part of the United States? Could that be considered an act of aggression enough for the U.S. to then attack North Korea and claim that it is in self-defense? So that is a very sticky, you know, situation that it's not very clear. And that is another piece of the equation that probably everybody is mulling right now.
Well,
well,
George,
seems,
I was.
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask both of you guys. I've read this already, but I wanted to read it again real quick. It's Barry Rothman's Atomic Holocaust, Korea and Guam, August 9th Matrix that he ran. There's 8 words here, and I wanted to read them because one of the words in this matrix, and we talked about Kim saying he's going to fire his missiles the middle of the month. Well, we're getting there. However, the third word in this matrix is the term eclipse, and I find that very interesting. Could it possibly be a time frame? I don't know, but let me read these real quick. Number one, atomic holocaust. Number two, China. Number three, eclipse. Number four, Korea. Number five, war. Number six, Kim. Number seven, Guam. Number eight, threatened. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that is something because the eclipse starts on the 21st, correct?
Yep.
So that's just a few days after the middle of the month. So that pretty much falls in the time frame that Kim Jong Un said he would do something. So yeah, I mean, that could very, very easily come to pass.
Wow. Well, when you look at all the words, yeah, I mean, it's pretty pretty obvious. And maybe he's pointing that he will do this as America is eclipsed. He's making a statement both ways. If you go back to Jonah and the story of Jonah, and the 40-day warning and the solar eclipse that took place then, kind of interesting that a lot of things began to happen to that kingdom over there. And maybe the same things are going to happen here. What's your take on the eclipse as far as what you think it means for the United States, Augusto and Larry, both?
Well, I think you just hit on something there that is very, very interesting, Stuart, by the sign of Jonah. I was reading an article that was written by David Mead. Now, he's another one, amateur astronomer and writer that I had on our program, and I think you were there for that, Larry. And I mean, everybody liked him, and he was very, very informative, but He just wrote an article, sent me a copy of it, basically about the fact that, you know, he claims to, or at least in the paper he wrote, he says that this same event that, you know, that happened back in August 21st, it happened exactly the same day in 763 B.C., August 21st, God sent Prophet Jonah to the city of Nineveh with a message.
Mm-hmm.
Repent of your evil ways or the city will be destroyed in 40 days. And that generation repented, but it seems that this generation does not want the chance. And so what similarities does that have to where we are today? And, you know, I also have Gil Brossard. I interviewed Gil Brossard maybe a couple of years ago or something like that. And he's a very, very brilliant man. He's done a lot of research on this subject of Planet X. I don't agree with everything he believes in, but I believe he has a lot of good information. And he seems to be of the opinion that when this happened in Jonah's day, there was something more going on than just Jonah preaching to the people, repent, for in 40 days you will be destroyed. According to Gil Brossard, he claims that on that particular day, Planet X made an appearance, and it could be seen all over the earth, especially from the Middle East. And he says that that is what the people of Nineveh saw when Jonah came preaching. And there may have been also an eclipse back in those days, similar to what is going to happen on August 21st here on the United States, starting in Oregon all the way to South Carolina. And so could this be something similar to what happened back then? I don't know. There's people saying that, you know, Planet X will be visible on August 21st during the eclipse. Is that going to be so? I don't know. But we're just going to have to wait and see.
Well, it's very, very interesting that that eclipse is doing what it's doing, starting from the 33rd State of the Union, Oregon, leaving on the 33rd parallel, 33 days from 9/23, the star sign, and, of course, the birth of the man-child, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of things are converging, it seems, and pointing to between now, actually, and the 9/23 time. What do you think, Larry, about the Jonah thing and any other things you've got on your heart?
Well, that's really, really incredibly interesting, and to kind of go along with all of that, I noticed that Stan Deo and others, but Stan Deo had posted at the top of his website a warning that Holly had put up, indicating there is a that the feds apparently are working and prepping to prepare people for the eclipse, somehow indicating that they think there will be widespread either grid outages, electrical outages, you know, the power grid down, or possibly portions of the power grid across the country going down, earthquakes, volcano problems. I mean, they're really putting some data out there that indicate it may be more than just an eclipse. So that would tie in, but yet at the same time, I'm really intrigued with the star sign. And how many days later did you say the star sign was from the eclipse?
33,
and that's an incredible number. It's odd. I found it odd that you said that Kim is 33 years old.
Yeah, the number 33 is showing up all over, and that is Donald Trump's number. If you get into the mathematics of it, Donald Trump's number is 888. Now, the number 8 means new beginning, kind of the new world order, you could say, when it comes to that. And 33 is also deeply embedded in the Donald Trump numbers mystery. I think we could call it all a mystery because nobody really knows who Donald Trump really is. I personally believe we're involved in the Masonic Wars as to who's going to rule Earth. And they're fighting it out, probably only to find out that the fallen angels, the big guy, will come down and decide that issue more than Trump or Bush Sr., who represents actually the 9/23 crowd, and the evil ones who, you know, they've had the movies and all that that they've been working on, all pointing to 9/23. What's your take, Augusto, on this the war that seems to be going between deep state and Trump? Is this for real? Or do you think this is just kind of for our benefit of the masses while they're doing something else behind the scenes? I mean, they're really working hard to bring in this new world order by hook or crook, and mostly by lies and deception.
Yeah. Let me say something before I go there. Back to the Jonah and Nineveh, that is another very interesting piece of information. And that is that a similar solar eclipse happened back in the days of Jonah. Mark Blitz, who was basically the pastor that, you know, made famous the blood moons, he has recently done some study on that, and he has come out and said that Nineveh had a solar eclipse, with the sign of Jonah and the whole nine yards. And basically back in the, back in 763 BC, a solar eclipse, according to his research, crossed the skies of Nineveh. And that, of course, that was when that happened. That's when Jonah said 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Well, from August 21st of 2017, which is going to be in several days, if you add 40 days to that, okay, from that point on, if you add 40 days, you're going to come to the Day of Atonement 2017, Yom Kippur.
That can't be by accident.
No. No, that's no accident. The 33 and then the 40 of the Day of Atonement. And I believe that, there's something here. I'm not saying that Jesus Christ is returning on September 23rd or that sort of thing, but there is definitely a big connection here, and this is a sign in the sky that the very, very, very powerful, very important, something that has not happened ever is happening, is going to be happening starting in August 21st through Yom Kippur of 2017. So people need to keep their eyes peeled. They need to keep close to the Lord, because we just don't know what is at hand. Now, going back to your question about Donald Trump, there may be something going on here that we just do not understand. There is definitely maybe some. I know that there are some connections with Trump and the Masonic Order. I think it's the Knights of Malta. He said there's some connection there, which has always been at war. The Knights of Malta have always been at war with the Vatican and that other branch of the Masonry. So I don't understand what that is all about. I do know that he is genuinely trying to make America break America loose from the grip of these people, and I don't know if he's going to be able to do it, but I do believe that he is trying his best, and he may be our best last hope of achieving that. And but this is definitely something that is very, very interesting taking place. I know that many people have threatened to kill President Trump and to get away with it, but the only difference between that happening now as opposed to what happened back in 1963 is that back then they owned the information. They owned every information outlet. There was no internet back then, and they basically what they said, that was it. That was the Bible, and that's not the case now. And the people in America are awakening. At least half of the population is coming to the realization that there is a deep state government that wants to control this country and the whole world, a globalist, if you will, globalists. And they know that they are against Trump. So whatever that may mean, I do believe that God raised up this man, Trump, as his Cyrus. Whatever his connections may be or whatever, that is really not the point. It's really irrelevant, because God has used pharaohs in the past. He has used other people like that, which we know were heathens. So it's not strange that he could use someone like Trump, but Trump has, since he became president, or right before he became president, he has gotten closer to the Christian community to the point where they are praying for him, they're laying hands on him, they are speaking into his life, they're prophesying into his life. So some people even claim that Trump accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I can't remember who he was. He may have been Pat Robertson. I don't remember. But the thing is that God is really using this man to break the yoke of these globalists that they have on America and in other countries. So I don't know how this is going to end, but I do believe that he is our only and last best hope.
Yeah. What do you think, Larry?
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. And you know, a number of times I've went back and read Isaiah 45 over and over, and it lines up with Daniel. And one of the things that's really important, and I was fascinated with, the eclipse to 9/23 event is 33 days. And then, of course, the 40 days that Augusto talked about put us in a really critical time frame. And that's what excites me so much. I'm really excited about this pivot, and I call it that. That's my term for it. 9/23, I think that star sign or that cosmic event is a pivot point from really the age of grace into the age of the millennium, a change of epoch, a change of how heaven deals with humankind and mankind on this planet. I think it's a pivot. It's just like it turns a corner right there, irreconcilable corner where once it turns, it doesn't come back. And I'm really watching close. We may not know the very minute some of these things happen, and we may not know exactly how they all occur, but we are in a season of change that's just, you just simply cannot ignore it.
Well, you mentioned too, Larry, about, and you've mentioned it before, that it seems that Trump is pivoting to Israel, which is odd in the timing of it. He mentioned the embassy moving to Jerusalem. He's mentioned the capital, Tel Aviv, moving to Jerusalem. The Sanhedrin wrote a letter asking for help to build their temple. Now we've got people marching in Israel demanding the temple be built. It all just seems like this pivot is coming, and we're getting the warnings of it, because if you really look at that star sign, that is basically for Israel. And I think it deals predominantly with Israel. A lot of argument over who the man-child is that is snatched up to heaven almost immediately after it's born. But it seems like if it's snatched up immediately as it's born, it can't be Israel. Israel's been around for quite a while. It can't be the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was on the earth almost 33 years, which is very interesting, a comment that he was probably crucified, most scholars think, unless I'm wrong, around 33 years of age. Kind of an interesting number, because the solar eclipse is 33 days from that pivot point, and what is an eclipse? It takes away the light. And in this particular case, it's taking away all the light, which is indicative of the light of the church and the age of grace is over. And we're going into the law once again, the rise of the Sanhedrin, the sacrificial rites of Israel, because they don't recognize Jesus at all. And it's just kind of fascinating. What do you think, Augusto? It appears like we're getting into a convergence here, rapidly a convergence.
Yeah, it does. Of course, the September 23rd sign in the heavens is unique. It's a very unique sign that I believe that it's going to be a fulfillment of Revelation 12, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to bring about a lot of these events mentioned in the Bible and the trumpet judgments and all of these things. And the thing about it that I really, I was just thinking about it was the fact that, you know, the sign that talks about there in Revelation 12 is mm-hmm. about Virgo, the constellation Virgo, giving birth, okay, the
yes.
virgin giving birth. And then, of course, the dragon waiting, you know, he's in waiting to devour the baby as he was born. And, of course, that is exactly what is going to happen in this sign in the heavens. Jupiter has been in the womb of the constellation Virgo for almost 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make, when it, you know, at the on the ninth month, it's going to make an exit out of Virgo's womb. And at that exact spot is going to be the destroyer, Nibiru, Planet X. And so there has been a lot of talk in recent days about maybe a collision between
yes.
The Planet X and Jupiter. And the reason I say that is because a few years ago, when I was on my way down to Miami on a trip to Ecuador, a mission trip to Ecuador, I had a very strange vision, dream, I don't know what to call it, a night, a very strange of experience, where I was outside, and I was talking to some people out there, and all of a sudden I see an explosion in the heavens, and then there was this man, which I now believe it was an angel from the Lord. He comes up to me and says, there's going to be a collision in the heavens between two celestial objects. And then he said, it will seem like the whole world will be in danger, but it will not be in danger. He said, this object that it's about five times the size of the Earth, and it's going to be a celestial event, a collision. And so that was the end of that. I was awakened, and I just kept that close to me. But now with this event coming up now later this year, next month actually, and the possibility that there is indeed a collision between this object and Jupiter because of their close proximity to it,
mm-hmm.
that could be the fulfillment of what I was shown, I was told. And, you know, this is very, very possible, Stuart and Larry, because this is exactly the position that this object in the Nibiru solar, mini solar system, this is where it is at. And,
yes.
of course, it has been covered up and patched up in Google Sky, but if the people go to another astrological or astronomical observatory in the internet, they can actually see this object right there, and where it is not covered by NASA. So, yeah, this could indeed happen. It could happen.
Well, I've got pictures of that object, and it looks like it has two glowing eyes and a
mm-hmm.
big bunch of teeth. And it's coming in between the legs of Virgo, just exactly where Jupiter's going to be.
Yep.
So, there's always a spiritual side to an astronomical sign, but it just seems kind of odd to me that all of this is converging now. It's all coming together.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that, you know, and again, there could be a speculation here and all that, but it's very interesting that at that point is when the scripture says that child, you know, the man child was taken up to heaven. and to the throne of God. And so what does that mean, Augusto? I don't know. At this time, I'm going to hold on my answer, but very interesting indeed.
Well, the man-child, there's a lot of speculation. Of course, everybody has different ideas. But the church is called a kingdom of priests and kings, which is male in its orientation, man. Jesus was a man. And it's very, very interesting that if you go into Isaiah, it talks about how Israel was going to try and rule the world. And instead, they brought forth wind, it says. Well, the wind is the spirit. And Jesus conceived the church, which is a spiritual church. And so the argument goes that when the man-child finally manifests itself, when the sons of God finally manifest themselves, they're all taken up to heaven almost immediately, and the church age is closed. Age of grace is over, and the Lord has moved back to Israel to deal with the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants, which are both eternal. So he has to go back and deal with Israel, which would be the time of Daniel's 70th week. So the question, I guess, is there any kind of a gap? Does there, if you go into Revelation, as you know, chapter 2 and 3 deal with the church, then they're not mentioned again until chapter 19, and that's the bride in heaven.
Well, let me share this since you brought it up, Stuart, and I was not planning on sharing it, but since you brought it up, I will share it for the scribes out there. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 5, okay, when he talks about the virgin brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, okay?
Yes.
Now, immediately the Bible scholars and the Christians and believers says, that's Jesus Christ, right? And it could be Jesus Christ, but the fact is that he was taken to the throne of God, up to the throne of God. That is not how it happened when Jesus was down on the earth. The other thing interesting about it is that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 27, I'm going to read there, okay? I'm going to start in verse 25, Revelation chapter 2, verse 25. But that which you have already hold fast until I come, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now pay attention in the next verse. And he, okay, in the previous verse he says, he that overcometh. It's talking about the overcoming saints, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In verse 27, and he that overcometh, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. So basically, Jesus Christ is referring to he that overcometh. He's going to receive the morning star, and he's going to rule them with a rod of iron. So, again, going back to chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 5, this man-child who is going to rule all the nations with a rod of iron is speaking of the overcomers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the church.
Yeah.
Well, a part of the church, let's put it that way. I feel sad for the a number of Christians who aren't paying any attention to any of this, could care less about any of it. But what do you do? You know, it's not like you haven't, Larry hasn't, I haven't, and hundreds or thousands of others have warned that this is serious business, and people better get serious about it. I guess is the word to use. I don't know.
Yeah, this thing is getting real. It's getting very close, and the people are still playing church and playing games. They have no understanding how close we are to everything wrapping up. And, again, I'm not making predictions that things are going to happen on certain dates, but when we begin to see so many different signs, celestial signs in the heavens, so many numbers, just I mean, coming together, signs that have never happened. First the blood moons, and now this, and then the solar eclipse. I mean, this is just too many coincidences happening all at the same time. Then you have the Torah codes confirming things. I mean, on and on and on and on. All the signs just converging on the same timeline. These people have to wake up, and they have to, like the scripture says, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth near.
And it's interesting the way it's worded, look up. Look to the heavens, because that's where you're going to see the time clock of the Lord. What do you think, Larry? We got about four minutes left.
Oh, we just got a 1 hour tonight?
Yep.
Oh, I was going to get Augusto to explain about his Mandela effect that he had recently, if he had time to mention it at all.
Yeah. Augusto, what is that Mandela thing?
Well, this whole thing, Stuart, happened a few days ago. I was basically just sitting, doing my work, and somebody had written me an email, and I wanted to share with them the scripture that I had. I have remembered this scripture all my life, and it's one of my favorite scriptures. And I have a Bible that I have had the Bible for over 30 years. It's an old King James, and on the first page of my King James Bible, I had written my favorite scriptures, which I wrote verbatim from that King James Bible. I wrote it down there on the first page, and exactly as it is written in that Bible, the King James. And I have several scriptures written there. And so I couldn't remember what the scripture was, and so I went to my software, my Bible software, and I kind of type in a couple of words I remember. And the scripture was the angel of the Lord, or the Lord is like a wall of fire round about his people. I couldn't remember where that was, so I looked it up. But when I went there, the only thing that showed was Zechariah 2:5, but that was nothing like what I had memorized. As a matter of fact, what Zechariah 2:5 says now in the King James is, "For I say of the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." So I said, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like what I memorized. I had committed it to memory because I love that scripture. So I went to my Bible, and I looked it up. I went to the first page, and sure enough, there was Zechariah 2:5. For the Lord is like a wall of fire round about his people. And I said, how about that? So I went through that to that scripture in that Bible, okay? I looked it up, Zechariah 2:5, and, all the other scriptures that I had written there, I had highlighted in with a yellow highlighter in my Bible. And when I went to see that one was not highlighted. It was the only one of the group that was not highlighted. And it was kind of faded yellow, and this one had no highlighter. It was not highlighted, and it said exactly the same thing. For I say the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. And, I was not one steward to think much of the Mandela effect. As a matter of fact, I tried not to really dwell too much on it because, I couldn't prove it. There was no solid evidence that it was. I couldn't remember any scriptures that were different like that. And I had no proof, really. I just chalked it up to maybe, we thought it, we read it somewhere, and then, we imagined it. But when this happened, I really, it just blew me away because I had written this down exactly verbatim as I had read it in that Bible, in the old King James. And it was not there. It was changed. So there I had, for the first time ever, tangible proof that this something is happening. I don't know if you call it the Mandela effect, but I have some documents, okay, that was given to me by a source. I can't disclose it. That it talks about this. He's a dead scientist, and he was doing some investigation and some experimentations many, many years ago on time travel.
Mm-hmm.
And this was being done in some, I can't say where, but in a place here in the United States, in a scientific laboratory, and they were working on this time travel, and I was reminded of this by someone, and I just wanted to share that this, in fact, is real. Time travel is probably real. It exists. I don't know if it has connections to CERN. It may not.
Mm-hmm.
But time travel is, in fact, real. And I believe that I may have been shown the beginnings of something that is going on. And I share with Larry in private that I have this feeling, maybe call it a feeling, that this may be something these people are planning involving this sort of thing for the Great Deception.
Yes.
You know?
Wow.
That is coming down the pike. And so that is all I'm going to share for now, but there's probably more to this that we may talk about it in the future.
Yeah. Can you come back on, say, in a week or two?
Sure, if we're still here.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for coming on. We really appreciate it. And thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. And we're on only for the people that are listening on the phone. The air part of it left a little bit ago. So, anyway, appreciate you all coming on. And we'll try and get you back on here soon because I think you're right. There may not be much more time.
Yeah.
So, thanks a lot, Larry,
thanks,
for coming on.
Thanks, Augusto.
Yep.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay,
thank
see you all
Stuart.
Later. Yep. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.